Too bad you can't get famous just for telling stories, huh?
Wait! Hey, wait, that's it. That's it. Listen, we need something that will play to your strengths of loving the sound of your own voice and talking forever. Podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
As you may have heard, an Alaska Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing after a cabin door broke off.
Here at Alaska, safety is our number one concern.
But you gotta admit, look pretty cool. Plane flying around, no door.
You know, everyone's screaming, cell phones whipping out into the sky. It was awesome.
That's why our new slogan is, Alaska Airlines, you didn't die, and you got a cool story.
And it was also revealed that a bunch of Jews were literally undermining our country with a network of tunnels under Brooklyn. I don't know what exactly they were doing under there, but if it had to be done in a secret and illegal tunnel system, I can guarantee it was despicable.
Did you know that 25% of women are currently being treated for mental illness? That means 75% of them are walking around unmedicated.
I assumed.
Ooh, knowledge and assumptions, those are like Loggins and Messina. They seem similar, but time proves one of them to be completely worthless.
So fly Alaska.
Fly Alaska.
We're the same airline where a pilot tried to turn off the engine mid-flight while on mushrooms. And now we're so proud to say that's our second worst flight.
Alaska Airlines, still better than Spirit.
Good morning, America. How are you? I'm Rabbi Dave.
Good morning. I am Friar Rod.
And this is going to be one of those days. You know, the days I'm talking about, the days where prep time just went out the window for this show.
Happens.
So if you're coming here today,
it,
right, if you're coming here today, though, expecting to be awed by deep conversation, probably isn't going to happen.
Nah.
This is going to be, as my son often refers to it, as complaints with dad. Because that's one of my favorite bits from Ben, as he was listening to What the Frock, or I believe it was DNR back then.
Yeah.
And he just said, what is this, just complaints with dad?
Pretty much.
Which was funny.
Two old guys complaining about things.
So there's been a lot of interference. We're almost an hour behind schedule this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been a great deal of interference with prep time. And it continues even as I'm trying to get set up here.
Still busy.
Yeah. Because see, coffee cup, I have a different coffee cup this morning. Normally, mm-hmm. I use a rubber grommeted coffee cup so that when I set mm-hmm. it down, you don't hear it. But today, I don't have that.
I have a slate.
So
it's a coaster, basically, and a metal cup. So I don't know if you were hearing that.
Well, I had to find a coaster to put so that you don't hear it. Anyway, so Cammy worked last night, which means I got to pick her up in the morning because we're a single car family again. And lately, it has not been an issue, but today she was running late. But my wife, whom I love dearly, want to be clear about this, I worship the ground she walks upon. And I do not know why the hell we have cell phones. I don't know why we pay for them. I really don't. Nobody in my family answers them. They don't respond to texts. They don't. My son doesn't answer the call.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, that pushed us back quite a bit this morning.
Yeah, but that was okay. That's quite all right.
Because Rod needed the extra time anyway.
Yeah, I was sleeping in.
Because?
Sleeping off some brandy I had last night.
And why did you have the brandy?
Well, actually, it helped with the cough that I had. I'm still sick, yeah, and I'm not in Hawaii. But
so
brandy
was
good.
So there was that. So we didn't do a lot of show prep on that end because of that. And then normally I do most of the final prep on Saturday evenings.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been last night, but I had a distraction again. So we're through the first 2 weeks of mm-hmm. school. So I've got they call it a midterm, but it's, I guess, I don't know. It's just an exam.
mm-hmm.
for world history. 130 questions. So it's basically a two-hour exam if you take a minute okay. per question. And it's due on Monday because I'm an online student, so I can do this at my pace. But it's due by midnight Tempe time on Monday.
Okay.
So I'm thinking to myself, well, I'll just do it Monday afternoon, right? Which is fine. That'll give me time to do all the stuff that I need to do to get ready for WTF and Dave Does History. But then I got the results of my bone scan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may seem that the two are completely unrelated, but here's the thing. And I don't know that I've told anybody this. Not here, anyway.
Uh-huh.
So the bone scan came back, and what an adventure that was. So after all of my concerns about the IV issues,
yeah,
I get there. They have to stick me four times.
That's
four
bad.
Four times. And they keep saying, there's two corpsmen, two former United States Navy corpsmen doing this. And they keep saying, well, that vein is really big. I don't know why I can't get this in here. As they wiggle the damn thing around. And
oh, I hate that.
Ugh. And he says, are you okay? I said, well, I haven't punched you so far, so I guess I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he just started laughing. Anyway, so, of course, I got that. And the whole time I'm thinking, so I'm going to yell at Cammie for this because Cammie's the reason why I'm already panicked about that. Right. She totally jinxed it. So they get that done. They get me on the table. They do the first scan, which is without the contrast. Uh-huh. Then they inject you with the contrast and send you away for 4 hours. Tell you to come back. Which it did. I'm on the table. They do the scan. So I'm naturally curious. I keep asking the guy, okay, so what does this actually show? Because I'm looking at the scan.
Uh-huh.
The screen is right in front of me. And I'm like, I don't know what this means. I didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so I have no idea what this means.
You're not a radiologist.
And he says to me, quote, oh, it would show things like infections or if it's coming undone or all that kind of stuff. Or if it's just normal. If it were just normal, mm-hmm. it would show that. And then he says to me, so when's your next doctor's appointment?
Oh, of course. I always, yeah. That's and a good said, tell, isn't it?
I said, I don't know, because doesn't it kind of depend on what this scan shows? I mean, if the scan shows everything is fine and all this pain and suffering is just in my head, I don't really need a doctor's appointment, do I? And he says, well, you might want to check with him just in case.
Yeah.
And I should have realized right then, but I didn't, because I was distracted by trying to get ready for a world history exam.
Were you worried about growing any kind of like third appendages or anything like that?
I was hoping for superpowers, but my wife and I actually had a discussion last night about what superpowers I was hoping to get. She was afraid that I was going to have Spider-Man superpowers.
Why was she afraid of that?
I don't know. She thinks that Spider-Man is stupid.
Oh,
because all he can do is hang from buildings. And I said, yes, but he can kiss you upside down. To which I got a far too detailed response about why that would not be good. All of which I found disappointing.
That's too funny.
So anyway, the x-ray guy or the radiologist guy, sorry, nuclear medicine dude says, well, you'll have the results in a couple of hours. Why would I have the results? Don't you think they ought to send them to the doctor? But here's the one nice thing. As screwed up as HMOs and mm-hmm. medical insurance is these days, the actual care that they deliver seems to be pretty good.
That's been
just my
experience.
Observations. Right.
It's the bureaucratic side that sucks.
Yes. And I think they do it on purpose. So I get home, and I swear to God, I hadn't been home 5 minutes, and ding, email comes in. You have new test results. Log into my chart and see your test results. So I do. And I don't speak medicalese.
Uh-huh.
And of course, it's all written in medicalese. Well, come to find out, once you decipher the whole thing, there are multiple possibilities, but there is clearly something wrong.
So the peasants rejoiced that at least you're not...
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I said to a good friend of mine at SubVets yesterday was, at least now I know there really is something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just in my head. Now, what is actually wrong is still up in the air. It could be just infected, which is seemingly unlikely.
Which, how would they treat that anyway?
Well, antibiotics, I'm sure. But here's the problem with an infection. Wouldn't an infection have other indicators?
Mm-hmm.
Fevers?
There would be.
Other problems? None of which I have. So then it comes to the next possibility, which is that the upper section of the knee replacement is coming undone. It's coming disconnected. Which,
that would be a problem.
It is a problem. And I have all the symptoms of that happening. Instability, pain, burning. You know, there's like 7 symptoms of this. I have all of them. So now I have in my hands proof of a major problem with my knee again.
Yeah.
Which means that I have to go to the Veterans Administration on Monday.
Oh, because it's a prior condition.
To submit all this. And of course, Monday was when I was going to take my exam.
Okay.
And I've just been informed, like in the last 15 minutes, that my grandson also has a rescheduled hockey game on Monday.
Uh-oh.
So all of this stuff comes up on Monday, which means that I need to go ahead and get this exam done.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it on Sunday. Well, we do What the Frock on Sunday. And while you listeners only get the benefit of somewhere between 45 minutes to an hour of the program, depending on how we're feeling on any given day.
Dave slaves over this, besides just recording it.
There's a reason why it doesn't get released until around 3 in the afternoon. Because it does take time to edit the whole thing together.
Which you do masterfully.
Well, I appreciate that. Sometimes I don't think I do a good enough job on it. But because it's a double-ender podcast, it does take some extra work. Plus, I have to do the intro. So I have to find clever things to put in the intro. So that takes time. So I thought, do I really want to hunker down for a 2-hour test on Sunday? Oh, and the game tonight, Kansas City and Buffalo, which is not on Peacock, which I want to pay attention to. I don't really have a horse in the game, to be frank, as things stand right now, kind of pulling for the Lions.
Yeah, but I don't care for Kansas City.
Right.
Buffalo's going to smack either one of them.
Right. I wouldn't mind seeing Tampa Bay.
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Yeah, they look good, at least in the second half. So I'm thinking Sunday's not going to be any good. So by this time, it's already 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon because we had SubVets yesterday morning. It was a long meeting. You'll be happy to know that I am no longer the base commander for the Bremerton Submarine Base. I've been termed out.
Okay. Okay, so that's a good thing.
So I don't have that job anymore. People keep saying to me, for the last week, people have been saying to me, well, what are we going to do about this? And I would look at them and go, that is what I refer to as a turnover item. Talk to the next person. I'm not going to be here. So anyway, so it comes down to, I have to take this test last night.
Okay.
So it came down to preparation for What the Frock, history test. Well,
hence why you didn't drink any kind of, you know, Wyoming whiskey.
Right. And to top it all off, I paid a lot of money to go to the history history class. But I don't get paid squat to do this. So I said, well, prep for this will just have to suffer this week. So I took the exam, which I'd be happy to know that I got an 88 on.
Oh, good.
114 out of 130. But even that said, I think I did better than that. Because my teacher, professor, because you're supposed to call her professor, sorry, she's important. And she doesn't even say that. She has her lackey tell you that. You must refer to her as professor. Can't speak English, or certainly can't write English.
Okay.
How do scholars call the earliest human-like primates?
What?
How do scholars call the earliest human-like primates?
Not on a telephone.
Homo habilis, great apes, Homo sapiens, hominoids.
Well, I think it's a what.
Exactly. It's the question is what.
Yeah.
But if you're one of these crazy kids that are in this class that are like panicked about everything.
Oh, sure.
You're already having problems. The answer, by the way, is hominids. But then you get this. Where's the one that I just hated? True or false? You ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
Human foraging communities of the Americas human foraging communities of the Americas independently began process towards the development of agricultural and animal domestication.
Independently process.
Independent of what? We're missing some modifiers here in this sentence. Now, again, I know that she doesn't write English real well. So,
and you don't want to correct her. Don't ever correct a professor.
Oh, I've given up on that. I'm not even being communicative. I'm just answering questions and moving on.
So the
answer,
by the
way, is true. But what she means is independently of Europe and Indo-Eurasian. But she doesn't say that. So what if it was independent of alien invasions or alien influence?
Independent of each other.
Right. Well, that's true too. They did that. The Mesoamericans particularly did not really, anyway, bunch of questions like that with really tragically poor grammar from a school that then turns around and sends me an email saying, you know, you got to take some English courses. Like, okay, great. Have your professor do the same thing.
Yeah.
Cause she does not speak English goodly.
I don't want to take the one she's taken already.
Right. Right. But she's a professor, Dave. So there was that distraction, which I successfully navigated. I completed the test. It was a 2-hour test. I took it an hour and 20 minutes, which is about 20 minutes slower than I normally would have.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a test taking strategy. All these tests are multiple choice.
Okay.
Okay. So I have a test strategy that I've taught people for years. Write this down, folks. I'm giving you this for free. Okay. When you take a multiple choice exam like that, here's what you do. You sit down with the test and they say start. You go through the test in its entirety first. You only answer the first time you go through it, you only answer the questions that you absolutely, without a doubt, don't even have to think about it, know. Check.
Uh-huh.
The second time you go through the test, you answer questions that you have to do calculations or computations or write something down, stuff you have to actually work out to get the right answer. The third time you go through the test, you just guess on what's left. And what you'll find is that the first time you go through it, you'll panic because you go, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you might answer maybe, if you're really good, a third of the questions. The second time you go through it, you'll find, oh, wait, I just talked about that. The answer to that is in this other question.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And you'll find, by the third time, when you get down to guessing, there'll be maybe 10% of the questions left that you might have to actually guess on. But you'll have a better mindset.
This strategy, though, assumes that you can go back because there are some tests.
There are some tests, including this one, that you cannot go back on. And
you have to take your time.
It screwed up my system. Plus, you only get a minute to answer each question, which, because I'm in radio, I know that a minute is frickin' forever. Yeah. But most people hear that, oh, I have a minute to do this. And they just automatically go into panic mode. In the meantime, because it's an open book test, here's what my strategy was. I would answer the question, and then I would go check my answer just to make sure.
Okay.
And I still missed 16 questions, probably because they were just grammatically, and I didn't read the question correctly, I'm sure, because...
That's usually my problem, is not reading the question correctly.
It wasn't written in English. So there was that distraction, right? French-Russian is what she speaks.
French-Russian.
Yes, she's natural-born Russian of French-Palestinian descent.
So does she speak French with a Russian accent?
I have no idea.
Or is it Russian with a French accent?
I'll send you the link to her introductory video.
Okay.
And this is, again, This is an online schooling, and this is what I'm talking about. She's not teaching an online class. She's teaching a traditional class that she's being told you have to put online. Because remember all this crap about the book that we talked about last week? The book showed up right after we got done with the show last week. I have it right here. So it's literally right here. Okay. Ta-da. Okay.
Yay. So the book shows $95.
Up. So in the meantime, plus shipping. Meantime, all these people complaining about this, right? She sends out an email and says, here's the first five chapters in PDF format.
Ugh. After the test?
And then she asks me, why did you say you didn't have the book? I made it available via PDF for the first five chapters. And my response was, and this is how I'm not going to do well in this class, because my response was, why didn't you make the whole damn thing available and charge me $50 for it?
Did you use the word damn?
I did.
Yeah, you're not going
to
meet.
And I got no response to that, so.
No.
So there was that distraction.
Challenged her, Dave.
I'm going to, and it's one of the things I said to one of the other people in class. They were like, why are you, you know, it's because I'm 60 years old and I don't care. I know what's important. And believe me, number one, nobody gives a flying bleep what your grades are here. I know you all think that that matters. Doesn't matter. Unless you've got a scholarship or something that's dependent on
That GPA would be the only thing.
Or a student loan for which you need a 2.0. It doesn't matter. Nobody is going to interview you for a job and say, well,
what was your GPA?
You only got a 67 in world history, 109. So we can't hire you. Sorry. Nobody cares. Believe me, nobody in the employment world even cares that the Mayans played a game, a very rough, dangerous game with a hard rubber ball that could kill people. Nobody cares.
I passed my college history class, and I skipped out half of the session, half of the semester.
You literally could.
I mean, literally, he was. It was a midterm and a final essay, and I did the midterm, and I got like a B on the midterm, and I skipped the last half of the year, and I totally BS'd the final. And got a D in the class and passed it. I'm happy. I'm cool.
My favorite one of all time was in seminary. We had a pastoral care final exam. They blocked out 4 hours for this thing.
Ugh.
They got us in the auditorium. You have to have three seats on either side of you between each person. Right? Four hours for a 50-question exam. Ugh. The instructor, a guy by the name of Larry Broom, stands up front and he says, if you have any questions, come down front and ask me. You may begin. And so there's this line instantly. People going down. What does this word mean in the question? I don't understand this question. Can you rephrase? Line. 20 people deep. Right? There's only 53 of us in the class. Anyway, after 22 minutes, I get up and go down front to ask a question. I wait in line patiently. And he looks at me and says, you have a question? And I said, yes. He says, what's your question? I handed him the test and said, can I go now?
That's funny.
He looked at it and said, don't you want to check your answers? I said, well, I already figured out that to pass the course, I only need a 17 on this test, and I can guess better than that. So,
that's funny.
Okay. Going right. So there was that distraction, all this academic stuff. Then I get up this morning, and I'm informed. Actually, it was last night I was informed that my son, whom I also love dearly, but my son, I'm not sure how to say this politely, my son is weird.
Yeah.
He's a gamer. So you know what I'm talking about.
I know. My son's kind of weird too.
Plus he's homeschooled. My son has always been very awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, spatially unaware of anything going on around him.
Same thing.
Right. Well, apparently his friends online have informed him that they think that he is on the spectrum, unquote.
Oh,
and now he's deeply concerned about this and wants to be tested.
Okay.
And my response to this was to my wife, who was trying to have a serious conversation with me about this was, well, let's get him tested. Maybe he is, and maybe we can get some disability money for him.
Disability money. That is hilarious.
So there was
maybe
that.
Maybe you are, son. Cha-ching.
Yeah. Way to go. Thanks for that tax credit, child tax credit that's going to go up next year, too.
Yes.
Anyway, so those were my distractions for why I couldn't get ready for the show today.
Okay.
But I'm here, and I'm ready to discuss several things that Rod was texting to me last night as he was inebriated.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's right.
The excuse was, well, I'm sick, I don't feel good.
I am sick.
And this makes me feel good.
I got the entire family sick, actually.
So how much of the bottle of brandy did you actually drink?
I think it was about half.
So,
but over on a 4-hour period.
On the plus side, he did do some show prep because he kept sending me WTF stories.
Yeah.
Some of which are pretty funny. Some of which we may not even get to. I don't know. But that's where we're at today. So hang on. It's going to be a wild ride. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Dave.
I am Rod.
One of the things I got hit with in U.S. History 109, World History 100, U.S. History 109, which is a class that, by the way, I'm very much enjoying.
That's good. The
professor is very well adapted to online schooling. Everything is online, and I mean everything.
It's nice when it's that way.
And he's well, his lectures are great. They're not so stilted that you fall asleep as he's staring into the camera. And I love the fact that he screws things up. He makes mistakes. And he's
got the history class I told you about was lecture only.
Ugh.
And he was entertaining, but I am not an audio person. I'm not an audio learner.
Well, I wish he was more audio than video, but. Because then I could listen to it podcast-wise while I walk and stuff, as opposed to carrying my iPad. But he's got this little hand thing that he waves when he screws up.
Okay.
We're backing up and starting over. It's great. Anyway, one of the things he was talking about was the fact that the Puritans, you know who the Puritans were, right?
Yeah,
the Pilgrims, the people that came. They hated being called Puritans. They hated that.
It was derogatory.
They considered it very derogatory, pejorative. They hated that, and so what do we call them today? Puritans. Because we don't care.
I was going to say Baptists, but...
Calvinists is actually what they were.
Calvinists, yeah.
But same thing happens with the Federalists and Anti-Federalists. The Anti-Federalists hated that term. The Anti-Federalists of 1788 and 1789 actually called themselves the Federalists. They believed that they were the Federalists. And they hated the fact that they were labeled anti-federalists by the people who were actually anti-federalists and usurped their name. And so throughout history, you have this mindset of people being labeled and hating that label.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did I get a call? Dave, you're just another Rush Limbaugh wannabe. I may be a lot of things, but I don't want to be Rush Limbaugh. And I never thought the only thing I ever stole from Rush Limbaugh was the going over the soft break to
improve. Which everyone does now. So.
Which everyone does now because they've all figured out how that works. I hated that. But now we have people who are essentially neo-Nazis calling themselves patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I hate that because they are not patriots. But what I hate most about that is the fact that I can't use the term patriot about myself because now patriot, the word patriot.
It's derogatory now.
It's derogatory. It's become code for you're a white nationalist neo-Nazi. Right?
Yeah.
How does that happen? These patriots who are actually neo-Nazis, this is a group called the Patriot Front.
Yes.
And you heard them in the intro today as they explained to you.
The feds.
Well, we're going to get there. As these people explain to you that everything that's happening right now is a conspiracy of brown and black people to turn the entire country into slums And of course, it's all being done by the Jews, who are digging tunnels under New York City.
All they need to add in there is a woman aspect to it, right? They would have covered everything at that point.
Well, as you know, 25% of women in this country are being treated for mental illness.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Which means that 75% of them are unmedicated.
That is hilarious.
So these Jewish, these Jews who are digging tunnels under New York for nefarious purposes are the cause of all this reaction from these patriots, neo-Nazis. Now, maybe you've seen this thing about the tunnels in Brooklyn. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. Just Google it. You'll see what I'm talking about. But here's the problem. This is the biggest problem that I have. This is the same problem that Moms for Liberty has with the Zieglers. Okay? You have people that have gone rogue, but it reflects on your organization. You can stand there all day long and say, these people are not representative. Doesn't matter because they have your label.
And it's this is called taint.
Yeah, it is. And this is the same problem that Chabad, which just happens to be the denomination of Judaism that I belong to, has with these tunnels in quote unquote New York City.
Yeah.
Now, are they really tunnels? Kind of. But what they really are is a bunch of stupid kids who have it set in their mind that they are right and everybody else is wrong.
Okay.
And have decided that they wanted the synagogue at 770, which is what Chabad headquarters is called, expanded. They want the synagogue to be bigger. And the only way to do that is to knock out a wall, dig through the basement because it's in a basement, and make it bigger. And so they decided that if they went ahead and did this, dug all the tunnels, dug all the basement out, then it would be a fait accompli, and it would be done, and everybody would go, well, we didn't approve it, but it's here, so.
Well, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission, right?
In some ways, yes.
Yeah.
But of course, they got caught doing this. And the reaction of the people that actually run the synagogue was, did you even pull a permit to do this? Did you think about the fact that if you dig out the basement, the building above it might have structural problems? Any of that cross your minds? Or were you just, you know, we got to expand this synagogue kind of thing? So they brought in a cement mixer to fill it.
Oh, yeah, because they had to, right? You can't have that structural issue hanging around.
And, of course, this is what led to the riot, because they were upset that the dump truck had been called in to fill it. This has been turned into... Did you know that Jews are digging tunnels under New York City for nefarious purposes?
Well, they're known for that, aren't they?
Clearly, we're going to use these tunnels to invade Gaza.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't. So these patriot people are marching, talking about the Jews digging tunnels under New York City, which is really just A, Brooklyn, and B, literally one building. In Brooklyn. Now, the bigger problem with these patriot people is that everybody in, I don't even know what to call it anymore,
conservative.
I don't even know what to call it anymore. Really don't. Right wing, sane people believe that these, okay, MAGA dump. Everyone on the right basically believes that these patriot people, these patriot front marching people, are just a bunch of federal agents who are staging this whole thing as kind of a, what was that operation where Eric Holder was sending guns to Mexico to increase crime so that they could pass more gun laws?
Yeah.
everybody on the conservative right basically thinks that this whole thing is just an act to generate hatred, to increase government reaction to this.
Well, Dave, you do have to admit, it is kind of comical in a way that these guys are all dressed alike, doing the same, you know, doing the same thing. And I'm certain that there's got to be at least one federal informant somewhere in there.
At least one. Yeah, I would look. I have no doubt of that. I mean, January 6th clearly had federal informants.
Look for the one that suggested wearing khakis.
Yes. look for the one that has the khaki concession, because that's all right. That's another story altogether. Even Elon Musk is tweeting that he believes that these people are all feds.
Yeah.
That they're all fake. That they are all phony.
And so if you're those guys, do you like this attention being linked to feds or no?
Again, if you are a fed, if this is true and they are all feds, yes, they like the attention.
Yes.
If they're not really feds, then I don't know. I mean,
you'd think they'd have a press conference and say something, right?
You could, but I mean, they're neo-Nazis. These are people that hate everybody.
So what's their goal, though? They're marching. What's the purpose of their marching? To get more followers?
To get the word out that the government is being overrun by Jews, and that the Jews are using the illegal immigrants and the regular immigrants, people who are brown and black, to suppress the white race, which is the America is the only place the white race has, you know, according to them. So it's it. There's nowhere else in the world that white people can go.
Norwegia.
Well, there's that. But you know.
Iceland.
Well, that's going to blow up.
Coolly so, though. I mean, if you got to go, volcano is kind of cool.
Top five ways you want to die. I always told my mom, if I'm going to go, I want to go on a space shuttle blowing up. Because at least everybody would see it. Everybody knows what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably hurts, but.
Arm over here, leg over there.
Or you just fall 7 miles.
You've got his eyeball, I've got his hair.
Anyway.
That's a song, Dave.
In the X world of social media, you can't even argue about these people. Are they feds or not? It's not even arguable. It's an article of faith. All of these Patriot Front people are federal agents. They're federal actors, hired actors to portray white nationalists for the sole intention of creating an incident, which will then allow the government, of course, controlled by us Jews, because that's what we do when we're not taking exams on world history. We're conspiring to take over the world.
Well, I mean, if you're going to hate the Jews, I mean, what are your options, Dave? Skinhead? Okay. Look at how they dress and versus the khaki guys. I don't know. I'd rather be a khaki guy.
Yeah, but they wear the face. See, why do you wear the masks? I don't understand. And of course, that just feeds into the whole thing. Well, they wear the masks so you can't identify them.
They don't want to lose their jobs.
Well, according to the X people, their job is to be a fake Patriot Front Nazi.
Yeah.
They're being paid for this. And here's the problem with all this stuff is that I don't know what to believe anymore. Is it possible that this is just a front group being manipulated by the feds for the sole purpose of creating chaos so that the government can increase its control of things? If you'd asked me that 25 years ago, I would have said, what are you? Get the hell out of here.
I mean, it's quite possible.
Today, that's what I'm saying to myself.
Right?
It's
plausible. That's the thing.
I can't automatically eliminate it anymore. I can't say, no, stop being a Puritan. Now I have to look at it and go, well.
Especially with the January 6th insurrectionists, right? They keep saying insurrection, but when it was a riot.
I'm not even sure it was a riot.
No. Well, I mean, it started as a protest, but then Well, and then they started opening doors to let people in. So it's kind of like, well.
Right. How does that, I mean, there's just so much. And so you look at it and go, well, if they're faking that, you know, if they did all that to set up, why are we, this is my point, right? Is that I don't know anymore. I don't know what to believe. And I can't just automatically eliminate things anymore.
Well, it doesn't that mean that the media has failed its responsibility to do any kind of investigative research? And
would you believe them if they did? Let's say let's say the media, whoever that is, does a full investigative report and comes back and says, no, the Patriot Front is just a bunch of neo-Nazis.
You can't believe them now.
What's the response from Elon Musk and the Xers?
Yeah, it's the you know, fake news.
Yeah.
Now.
And how am I supposed to know what to believe? Now, you say to me, well, you just got to do your own research. Okay. How do I do that?
It'd be on the internet, but what sources do you use?
Or do I go to a Patriot dude rally and go, excuse me, are you a Fed? Can you prove you're not a Fed?
Yeah.
Rod, can you prove that you have never, ever publicly denied having involvement in the Kennedy assassination?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
This is the same problem with global warming. Do you know that the polar ice caps are melting?
I haven't been there recently.
Exactly. I've never been there. The only way that I can believe one side or the other is to actually go there and see for myself.
Uh-huh.
How do I do that?
You can't.
Now, once upon a time, I was on the Navy plan. I guess if I had worked things out, I could have gone up in the Navy submarine and gone, well, here we are. But here's the problem. The Navy keeps telling me, we have to prepare for global warming, and so we're doing all these things that we can to...
Yeah, but the Navy's been politicized, too, to an extent.
And the Navy is conducting what they call ICE-X, which is where they send a bunch of submarines from NATO up to the Arctic, and they all surface through the ice and have a big party. Well, how can you do that if there's ice? If there's no ice?
Yeah.
What... I don't know who to believe. I don't know how I'm supposed to believe it.
You got to look at the actions. You can't believe the words.
Well, I still apply the Adams rule, which is very simply, if you give me a fact, these are all feds.
Mm-hmm.
The Adams rule says, all right, in order for that to be true, what else has to be true?
Well, they would all have to shop at the same store.
Or be supplied by the same person.
Or be supplied by the same person. Yeah,
has anybody looked into that?
Yeah.
Pretty amazing that they all have exactly the right size. Pretty amazing that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I go to Subvets yesterday, and we got people that have, you know, we wear a vest. We call it the colors.
Yeah.
And we all have different kinds of vests. Some of us have piping on it. Some of us don't. Some of us have writing on the back. Some of us don't. Some of us have patches. We all have different patches. But these people are all absolutely identical. I can't get 55 people to be identical. How? I don't know what to believe.
Maybe they're Jews, Dave.
See? Maybe they are Jews and they're just
the Judean People's Front.
Yes. They're just pretending to be
the crack suicide squad of the People's Front of Judea, or the Judean People's Front.
What have the Romans ever done for us? So how do I know? I consider myself to be a fairly reasonable, relatively intelligent person who can't say the word relatively. And I can't figure it out. And Elon freaking Musk, the richest man in the world, who is launching rockets into space, is telling me they're all feds. What do I do?
Yeah. Well, and that's a nice thing about Twitter, though, really. I mean, the only way to confront bad information is more information, as you've said before, right? So we have more information. There's people out there. Someone's going to film them doing something, right? We'll get there. We just don't know today.
Well, in the meantime, I guess I need to start digging some tunnels under my house because apparently that's what we Jews do. We dig tunnels.
No, you sell them the clothing.
Sure we do.
To What the Frock, Dave, in today's WTF segment, you know, how would you like to do nothing for a living?
Well, there are a lot of people that argue that's what I do.
All you do is talk.
There is a Japanese man who has been so successful at doing nothing for others, he now does it for free. Basically, there's a guy who would rent himself out. So if someone needed, like, you know, two people, if it requires two people to go into a restaurant, someone would rent him to come in with them as a companion, right, just to get into places.
But that's not doing nothing.
Or, you know, if you needed, like, if you wanted to drive in the handicap, not in the handicap lane, but you hire the person to sit in your car so you can get the, right. Yeah.
In the HRV lane. Right.
So now this guy was so successful. He was making $300 a day in Japan.
Right.
Being rented, and it's no sex. He doesn't do sex, but he's been so successful that he doesn't charge now. All he says is, "You cover my travel, and you feed me, and if staying is lodging, you just pay for that." He's like, "You don't have to pay him to do anything," and so he just sits there. He doesn't want a conversation with anybody. He doesn't want to be your friend. So that's
this guy. He's doing this for free now.
He says he's doing it for free now. He just cover my expenses. That's it. He's married. He has a family.
Why he does this for free? Oh, well, there you go. He's getting married and got a family. That's
yeah,
why.
He gets out. Yeah. He doesn't have to deal with that. You know, his kids being told that they're in the spectrum.
I bet there were some tax implications. And he decided to do it for free because now he doesn't have to fool around with whatever their version of the IRS is.
Yeah, he doesn't have to pay taxes now. Yeah. Do you want me to hang out and be with you? Just feed me? Well, isn't that the guy's dream, though, man? Hey, you know what? Cover the cost of my travel, my lodging, and feed me. I'm good.
Yeah, and I don't have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah, and I don't have to talk to you either.
Let's see, 300 times 352. So that's $105,000 a year. Dear IRS, I do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, how do you claim that? Right.
I'm betting there is a tax angle to this.
He's a rental guy is what he calls himself. So anyway.
A stuntman steering a car with his feet while sitting on its roof.
The windshield?
Dot.
Or what would be the windshield?
No, he was sitting on the roof. So the sunroof, I assume.
Oh, the sunroof.
It doesn't say that there was a sunroof, but he was sitting on the roof. So there was either a sunroof or they cut a hole in it. Steering the car with his feet. .. You don't have to be a genius to figure out where this is going, do you?
No.
Because the segment is called WTF.
Yeah.
He lost control of the car.
I was shocked by that. Yeah.
Struck a barrier during the exhibition in a northern Italian city of Verona on Friday, injuring 9 spectators. That's not even the...
Did they pay money, though,
to see this? I have no idea.
But that would be the tragedy.
I live in the 21st century, so I don't even have to imagine this. I don't even have to say in my mind's eye, okay, I can see him sitting on the roof, steering with his feet, losing... Because there's video of it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
shows him exiting the cab, taking his place on the roof, and starting to steer with his feet before the car quickly spins out of control, striking the barrier where dozens of people were standing to watch the show. So I'm assuming they did pay. Many people tumbled to the ground. 9 were taken to the hospitals for light injuries, including bruises. The announcer can be heard in the video saying, "He's driving like that," excitedly, before his tone grows more urgent, and he says, "Attention! Get out of the way!" The stuntman, you'll be happy to know, was not injured. The event was part of the Motorbike Expo. Why he's in a
Which
car?
Which explains why he's in a car.
Which still is running through Sundays, and you can get tickets online. Which is the kind of thing that makes me say,
WTF?
Welcome back. I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
So one of the things that Saturday Night Live does well, although over the course of 40 years, has it been that long?
It's been a while.
Over the course of 40, 50 years, however long it's been on the air, admittedly, some of them are bad misses. But some of them are really good. The John Belushi donuts. I eat little chocolate donuts for breakfast to get ready for the Olympics. They do these commercials, these fake commercials for stuff. Some of them are really good. Most of them are snicker-worthy, but occasionally some of them are bombs.
1975, Dave.
Yeah, I know that. I just don't know how long ago that was. Now okay. I got to figure that out. Couldn't just answer that part, could you? 1975, 49 years. So it's been almost 50 years. Yes, I remember when Saturday Night Live started because we were told, you will not watch that. You know who hosted the first episode?
No.
See, I do because I watched it. And it was freaking funny. And if my parents had found out that we stayed up to watch it, they would have been mad because it was Saturday night. And even though we lived in the mountain time zone, which meant that we didn't actually have to stay up too late, the next morning was, of course, Sunday.
Uh-oh.
We had to be up for Sunday school. Church.
Dun, dun, dun.
Anyway, it was George Carlin. Back when.
Okay.
Anyway, so it was every now and then. So this week's cold open, or I don't know if it was a cold open or it was just commercial, Alaska Airlines.
Okay.
Which had the incident with the Boeing 737 with the bolts that came off the door and poof.
The door plug.
Right. And the tagline for the commercial is, Alaska Airlines, you didn't die, but at least you got a great story.
That's funny.
Which is hysterical. And if you watch the whole thing, it ends with the guy, I forget his name. Sorry, you can watch it and see. But at the end of it, he says, remember, we're the same airline that had a pilot try to turn off the engines mid-flight while high on mushrooms. And that's still, and we're happy to say now, that's our second worst flight. Which is just great.
Yeah.
Well, I say all this to tell you that I found it hysterical. I don't fly for a lot of reasons, one of which is I find flying very uncomfortable.
Okay.
The second reason that I don't fly is because anything less than, say, couple thousand miles, it's almost just as quick to drive.
Almost.
By the time you have to be at the airport early, get through the thing, wait for the delays, get to the next place you're going. The delay is there waiting for, you might as well just drive. I'd rather take 2 days to drive to Denver than fly to Denver. But Dave, it's only an hour and a half flight. Yeah, once you're on the plane. But it's all the other stuff that just isn't worth it to me. But that said, I also have these irrational fears, knowing full well that it's very, I have a better chance of being killed driving, but I still have these irrational fears about that, which is weird because, as I said earlier, if I'm going to die, I want everybody to know about it.
Okay.
Which if I die in a rollover accident on I-15 isn't going to happen. But if I die
if
in
you,
a...
If you die driving your car with your feet, you know,
right.
Sitting on the roof, I mean...
It would at least make WGN news.
WTF. It'd make WTF, man.
True. You have to promise me that that would happen. So.
Okay.
Anyway, I found this Alaska fake commercial to be funny. On the Dave scale, I rate it as funny.
Okay.
I guffawed. I laughed. I snickered.
Did Cammy watch it too?
She has not seen it yet.
Okay.
Because Cammy doesn't fly unless she's on Valium. She does not fly unless she's high. I mean, she can't do it.
Okay.
The most miraculous story about us being married is that she flew to Modesto. She flew to Sacramento to meet me because she does not fly at all. She must have Valium to even get to the airport, let alone on an airplane.
That's
so
amazing.
She doesn't like to do it. Yeah, it really is, if you think about it. So, anyway, what I want to say is I found this to be hysterically funny. But I live in the 21st century, which means that while I found it funny, while Rod Wolf found it funny, and you may have found it funny, you know what happened as soon as this got out there.
Sure, I'm sure Alaska Airlines had something to say about it.
Well, it wasn't even Alaska, but literally the first comment on it was, why are you picking on Alaska? It wasn't Alaska. It was Boeing.
Yeah, but they bought the airplane. Yeah, Alaska
Boeing. Right.
Bought the airplane, so.
This is offensive. All of these people might have been killed.
But they weren't.
They weren't, and now they have a great story, which is true, right?
Yeah. And the iPhone that fell out that landed perfectly fine.
Which is, I mean, if you're Apple, isn't that a commercial?
Yeah. You can drop your iPhone from your hand to the floor and it lands on its corner and cracks the glass. So somehow, yeah.
Yeah. I just, the commercial kind of ends with one of the stories telling that I was scared to death when it was happening. But now that I'm back at work, I'm the most popular person here. Everybody wants to stop by my cubicle and hear me tell the story about the kid whose shirt got sucked out. It's great.
Yeah.
Which is true then, because...
And they actually got to practice the whole oxygen mask thing, right?
Right. It's fantastic. Which is one of my favorite sayings, and you've probably heard me say this many times. I say it to my son all the time. When he's complaining about something that was so terrible. I look at him and I say, with all the concern that I can muster from deep in my soul, but did you die? And he'll look at me and say, well, no. And I'll say, well, then you had an adventure.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. Thanks. Thanks for that.
And on that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And this has been...
What the Frock?
Me and my friend Chester, we're going across the street and over to the pick and save to buy some sausage meat. And there, while in the road, along came a speeding truck, and Chester forgot to duck. And it says over here, guts over there, you've got his eyeball, I've got his hair, poor Chester, he is no more. What do you do with your dead friend Chester? What do you do with your dead friend Chester? What do you do now that he's gone? You can't hang his picture on the wall, lie his carcass in the hall, and that's about as much as you could do. Tell his mommy, tell his dad, make it seem like you're so sad, but now you can finally live alone. Yes, that's what you do with your dead friend Chester. That's what you do with your dead friend Chester. That's what you do now that he's gone. That's what you do with your dead friend Chester. That's what you do with your dead friend Chester. That's what you do. That's what you do.